Welcome back to PRQ Homesteading Expanded Radio Show, where we are always celebrating the raw, untamed spirit of living free on our land. I personally possess the power and the free will to create my own happiness right here amidst the soil, the beautiful seasons, and the self-reliant creation of homesteading to have a free life. So our spirits are always open to receiving new wisdom and insights from the earth itself daily, guiding us to make the right choices for our own growth and independence. Remember, we are never victims of outside forces or fleeting trends. We all have complete control over our own choices by following our hearts and staying authentic to ourselves. We present the true selves to the world, building a life that's genuinely ours as we evolve into freedom. Sometimes decisions shaped by societal expectations pull us away from the focus of creating our truest and highest excitement realities. But that's not our true path to fulfillment. We are all responsible for creating our own realities, like tending to our gardens, raising livestock, goats, on the ranch. Shout out to Sharon in Texas. Hope all is well, sister. And building our homes with our own hands. When our spirit shifts to a place of honoring itself in its totality, free from judgment, only then does it find its true freedom, unburdened by the chains of conformity. Every homesteader's journey is unique to their personal experience, following their own process, their own land, and dreams that they create. Don't give in to the peer pressure or the urge to fit into someone else's mold in regard to your journey. You are the only one who truly knows the real you, the one who thrives in the quiet while you meditate, focusing on the here and now, creating what excites you moment after moment throughout the day, and not expecting any outcome of those creations, but just rolling with the flow of the universe. So always be free to march to the beat of your own drum out here on your own personal homestead journey, where the land whispers your name and the liberty grows wild. So today's show, Homesteading Expanded, January 10th, 2025, topic is homesteading with a mortgage. But before we get started, we're going to have Shane share the call-in lines.
Hello, hello. Thank you, Robin, for allowing me to connect with you. And thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, all of our listeners. We thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. Today, the lines are open at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that is 1-888-627-6008. Out of country, we encourage you to call in. We love to hear from you. Your call-in number is 323-744-4831. Again, 323-744-4831. You can also email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions. If you want to connect with us, if you just want to say, hey, we encourage you to email us. Feel free to subscribe to our show. We are open and receiving all forms of subscriptions and donations. Subscriptions start at $2.99. If you can't afford to subscribe, just send us an email and say, hey, how you doing? And with that, Robin, I think we have a donation button that we've created, I
yeah,
believe
we,
so.
Absolutely. Actually, the last show that was live, I talked about a family in the Ohio area, and I did actually send a donation to them, and they were able to get some heaters in the house until they were able to resolve the situation. So I was so happy to be able to do that for them. And yeah, so anyone that feels like they want to help, where we can help others, feel free to donate to the show. And so just for everyone, this episode is once again sponsored by Nano Ojas, the future of wellness in one innovative formula, backed by science, powered by nature, and crafted with integrity. Nano Ojas delivers high frequency nourishment your body can actually absorb. Elevate your energy, clarity, and resilience naturally. So check them out at nanoojas.net and use the promo code PRQHOME15 for 15% off of your orders. And that's not just one order, that's all orders. They also have a learn tab where you can check out the science, information in regard to the product, and live testimonials. So check it out. All right. Agenda point real quick. I just want to give everybody an update on Shane. You remember this past summer when I went up to Traverse City and I connected with this beautiful lady about I can't remember, Mission Inn. Okay. And we got her patents and everything. I kind of connected with her this week. I connected her with another lady that's going to assist her in which path that she wants to go down. And from there, Angela will let her heart lead her down her homestead path. And hopefully we'll have some updates as to what choices she has made in regard to getting started. Okay, so with that, I want to share with everyone, Shane was so wonderful this week and sent me this beautiful clip on, I think it was Monday morning, wasn't it?
I believe so. It was one of those days.
Okay, and it had to do with timelines, and it was absolutely perfect. The timing was perfect. And I started listening to it. And so I want to share the clip from January 25th, 2025 Timeline Show with Q and Troy, which will segue into my topic today. So BBS, if you don't mind queuing that up, greatly appreciate it.
Let's see. Let's do, I don't know what order they come. Oh, I'd like to do Troy from California on line three. About Sun Tzu picking your ground. Troy, are you there? You're always so fun to listen to. Poor Solano County, they're going to need a hug, don't you think?
Well, I'm trying to make them a friend, whether they want to be one or not. That's where the homestead or the timeline is kind of the same. So what I found is this condition. And I've been asking the same question, which is really cool. The thing is, I'm asking and doing I command spirit, prime creation, show me the ways and the means. Give me the tools to finish this. That's where it starts and ends every time I engage. And it is an engagement. So I'm looking at Sun Tzu question, will you pick your ground? Because I have to know whether I'm going to act a battle or not battle. And I'm making a choice of where I'd rather not battle. Now, what's been going on is same pay-per-view experiences. And the serendipity that took place was when I was inspired to call HUD, H-U-D. That's 800-569-4287. It was as a recorded line, and I got the HUD guy to call and interview the mortgage debt collector. So the HUD representative was the witness, and I formed a contract with the mortgage debt collector. I was presented, and we had the record to compel the response from the mortgage collection agent to actually perform. I've spent since July of 2024 trying to get the mortgage collector, the debt collector, to perform. The challenge is knowing where you are as federal law, which would be your actual land patent, and whether you're actually operating in a state statute legal function or you're in common law. Where am I standing? So it's pick your ground. That's the point. And trying to make sure I know where my ground is. Now, what I've found is I'm asking you to sort through this stuff with me, and I'm sorting through it in this way. I have found that it is best while I'm going through the land patent, you better continue to pay the mortgage until you actually receive a challenge to your patent. Then your patent is actually secured, because until you get into a court has rejected the claims against you and your land, the mortgage company in California is a problem. Now, in California, they call it non-judicial foreclosure, which means that you never get the privilege of going to court and presenting your land patent. In my situation, they never even certified or verified any of the papers that they filed into the court. So I didn't even know about it, except for serendipity interjected and said, hey, look, do you know they're foreclosing on your property? Hey, look, do you know they're going to auction your land off? I'm like, holy crap. So because Californication allows non-judicial foreclosures, they will sell your home without telling you. The reality is that they're selling your home only in the statute side of the process. So I'm looking to see where my ground really is. So if I'm operating in statute, I have to operate in a particularly different way. This non-judicial foreclosure is one of the weapons that these mortgage debt collectors used against us. Now, when you're getting to court to actually present the land patent, what happens is you get to actually have the privilege. So the mortgage debt collector is there trying to collect their side of their game. So they're on their ground. And whether you know how to enter into their ground effectively. So what I'm dealing with is where do I position myself while I'm going through the land patent? How I'm picking the timeline I want to go into and getting prepared. This is where it's important to pay attention and to prepare, because you're dealing with statute on the land patent side. These conditions make it a scenario where you have windows to operate, and you have 90 days here, you have 21 days here, and so you're operating in that area. I need to know if it gets to a bad point where in the timeline that they actually auction off my land, right? So I have a land patent, and they're auctioning off my land. I will then get a chance to finally go to court when the buyer, the one who won the auction, okay, is going to file the 90-day eviction against me. And in that time, I can go to court and present my land patent at the time of the eviction. I've never done that, and I'm very squeamish about going into something that I don't know about. Again, know and pick your ground. Know that when you walk in the door, you're going to be able
okay,
to
do hold me there, Troy. Hold me there if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I'll lose you if you keep going here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, in this type of a timeline, it's an interesting one because we're watching. Yeah, you know, it's fun for me to see all the people playing in this dialogue that you are creating timelines with. This is great, great tool for all of us. So if this happens, that's going to happen. What do I do if this happens and this happens? And I assure you, I can hack the people's minds in the courtroom and make things go this way or that way. Thoughts that aren't theirs, many different things you can do with the brain in real, what we assume is heavy topics.
How can I operate that so I actually will allow myself to feel better about this process?
Okay, and I do believe that's where the call dropped on that particular clip. But I love what Clay says here because he talked about how he, Allie, we'll be with you in a minute, honey. Hold tight. He talked about how he had the interview with the mortgage debt collector. I actually did the same thing, only we recorded the actual conversation and we put it into a transcript. So it was actually, it's really interesting to listen to this. So when he says to stand your ground, where is your ground at? You really need to know this before you go in to this process. And in his particular, he said 30 to 60 days. My redemption period was 6 months. Who the buyer is, who buys his land. In my case, nobody bought the land. Okay, but I love what Q said about hacking the brain in the courtroom. So what's really exciting about this, the more knowledgeable that you become about the process and how it works, it gets exciting and it starts to get fun because you get more confident because you know how this is rolling. So I want to talk about how mortgages really work. This is what I have learned from my own experience. Everyone that takes out a loan to buy a home will sign a promissory note. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with what a promissory note is, it is a legal financial document in which one party, the borrower, promises in writing to pay a specified sum of money to another party, the lender, by a certain date or on demand. It's essentially an IOU with enforceable terms. So it's not just paperwork, it's actually a negotiable instrument. And under UCC code 3-104, it carries real monetary value. UCC 3104 is a section of the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC Article 3, which governs negotiable instruments. It defines what constitutes a negotiable instrument and outlines related terms like instrument, check, draft, note, cashier's check, teller's check, traveler's check, and certificate of deposit. Now, you say, what is a negotiable instrument? This is the fun part. This stuff is really good. So it is an unconditional promise to pay. So understand that a mortgage note, a promissory loan agreement mortgage, is a security instrument, which is a financial instrument the bank uses. Your signature creates the value of the note. There is no obligation without your signature. You create the obligation, and this is what gives it value. The bank then creates a credit entry and cycles it back to you and calls it a loan. For example, take a $200,000 mortgage. It's recorded as the asset on their books, and then they mirror it as a liability. They show a loss of $200,000 after they acquire the $200,000 from the promissory note. They are only loaning you money that was just created by your signature. This is how they balance the book. The point being that you funded your own home with your signature. Go figure, right? Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that. This is all research. You guys, There's so much stuff here. It's just crazy. We could do show after show after show. So they created a mirror liability that we fund it. Then we owe the bank for the next 30 years or whatever the term may be. You created the loan to be. Oh, sorry, I got stuck there. All right, you walk in as the creditor and walk out believing you owe them. And that's a fact. That's exactly how we have perceived it in all these years of doing business, buying houses. The business model is that you never realize that the note was actually the money. We sign a financial document that they can monetize. That is the value, folks. And the trick, securitization is the trick from the banks. Most mortgages don't just sit in the bank and the money just sits there. The mortgages get bundled, however many there are, and they are securitized and are sold. This is on top of them fractionalizing it. Now I'll tell you what that means later. And then it can multiply, and it is sold on Wall Street. Your note is then monetized, not just once, but multiple times. In my case, after I signed my mortgage, it was sold, I'm going to say probably 2, maybe 3 months after I signed the promissory note. The bank gets paid upfront, yet we are stuck paying a mortgage payment for years. All right, so we're going to take a call real quick from Allie, and then I'll go into the next clip. Allie, are you there?
I'm here, Robin. Can you hear me?
We sure can. How are you, beautiful lady?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Great, great, great. So, what's your question, darling?
Well, I just wanted to call in to tell you that about these programs that they run to help people. They make them very difficult to get in. And you know, you have a certain time window to get to talk to them. You can call in, and they're only there for like 2 hours. So the lines are constantly busy, making it hard for people to call in to get what they need with help with energy.
Oh,
So,
okay.
you know,
So,
if you need help with your.
yeah. So
Hey, pardon.
this is what you did to help yourself in regard to not having heat this past winter season. So you actually found resources. Is that correct?
I connected with AEP, and AEP made an appointment to come out and check my house to see what the energy problems were. And when they came out, the guy said, "You absolutely need a new refrigerator." And they said they would help me with that at some point months down the road. But as for my heating, my furnace is 30 years old, he said. And he said, "I'm very worried about your furnace and your hot water heater." And he said he was going to give me a number to call so that I could get an appointment so they could come out and look at that.
Okay, so
And
that's
so
great.
that took more.
Go ahead, sorry.
So anyway, then I finally did get somebody to come out, and they said that they would take care of that. They fixed my furnace enough to last for a season, but it makes a lot of noises. And anyway, they said then I could call back to this program and hopefully they would help me with the furnace and the hot water heater. But in the meantime, I had no heat, so I had two little space heaters. And then you were kind enough to send me $100 so that I could get more space heaters
Oh, that's
until
so
they got
beautiful.
whatever needed fixed.
I'm so happy to hear that, especially with the kids. And that's wonderful. But what's really great, Allie, what you did is you actually went out and find the resources to help yourself, and that's just amazing. And kudos to you, beautiful lady.
Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate you and that you wanted to help. You know, when we
Absolutely.
have money, it just, you know, you just got to let it flow. I mean, you know, you help people and help people, and then sometimes you need help.
I love
So
it. I love it.
it's just the way it goes.
I know, and it's beautiful. And Allie, thank you so much. And keep on working on your homestead out in the Florida area. I do believe that's where you are where your heart is headed, and we're gonna get you going on that. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
All right, beautiful to you. And all right, so we have, let's do the next clip real quick, BBS, and then we'll take the next caller.
All right, sorry about that. Troy, are you still there?
That's cool. Absolutely.
All right, so the reason I'm going to slow you down here a little bit, these are very exciting timelines for me. You have a lot of people in the mix and having you advance your desires there, potentially or negatively. Your only tool is not to participate with them while participating with them. Many ways to do this. The 100% success rate has been like this. If you desire to go in the courtroom, or you desire to publish a document and not go to the courtroom, it's up to you. You can have a bench hearing with these issues. That's why it's so fun, because judges do not like their courthouse clogged with garbage. They're pretty good about that, especially where you're talking about. You have a federal land patent. You have a federal homestead. You cannot embarrass me, attack me, take my land in a county court. That's your defense. You're in the wrong courtroom. I'm sorry. Okay. Motion for dismissal is, you have a federal topic and you're at a county recording office, title, etc., whatever your terms you're going to use to defend yourself. You only have one page to document. You're in the wrong court. Okay. That's all you have
You're
to do.
In the wrong court.
I've seen it. It's 100%. It just works over and over again. This is great, guys. This is a lot of fun noise. I'm in the wrong courtroom. This is a federal patented land. And you have all the documentations on the webpage here. You can prove it once you've patented it. You have all the proof that you filed a federal land patent. You're in the wrong courtroom. That is your unbelievably perfect defense when you're dealing with people who don't represent federal law.
Okay. That is cool.
It's really clean. And that's why I'm doing it this way, so that you guys can see how clean it is. We're dealing in their courtroom, trying to play within their rules is not what we do. We tell them that we make the rules. And so go ahead. Let's do this again over at the U.S. District Circuit Court. Let's go over there, guys. And they won't show up.
Can you publish for us anything that fulfills some of that, like the templates we've been using to do the patent, so I can begin to digest that better, please?
You bet. We have a bunch of case law established.
Okay.
And
That's fantastic.
Okay, so we have case law established. I did it for you. I've got case law for everyone on the planet, working on every country. What I desire when I work with you is you to do it for yourself, so that I'm not a savior for you.
Correct.
I want to be a mentor, because your horsepower is outstanding. It's just recognizing the little ditches that we're playing in are not, we've inherited these rules and regs to our lives here. So if I publish the cases I've seen be successful in the statement I just made, you're in the wrong court, it's very difficult to keep the people anonymous. So I'm working on getting people that are very, very in tune in their own faith, that it's okay to expose your name so that they can be of help. So we want to show you all the cases that have been successful, but it's really so simple. You can probably query it right now. I'm a federal land patent. You're a county, so you're in the wrong court. I'm nice. Waiting to see it mature a little bit. I'd like to see it mature. Watching your success is unbelievably powerful. And I pray for Solano County to find themselves in their hearts.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love how Q said, motion for dismissal, and that's perfect in some cases, okay? And the fact that Troy does not want to participate in the court, I agree with him 100%. But in my particular case, the way to get into the federal court is through what I'm doing in my personal experience. But there's also good news in regard to the foreclosures, and I will get to those here in a minute. We have another caller on the line, Kimberly from Michigan. Hey, Kimberly, are you there?
Hi, Robin. Hi, Sam. How are you guys today?
Beautiful.
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. It's good to be with you, and loving the show. Such great information for people to be learning and seeing how the fraud's being pulled. So really good.
So, Kimberly, in your personal experience, you own your property, correct? But you have also done a homestead, but you're still dealing with some issues in the county that you live. Is that correct?
I am. I actually have three properties simultaneously that I'm actually doing the land patenting process on. And I have pulled all the way through that. I've noticed them. I've recorded on the county, and they are still pursuing me. It's really been an egregious road. It's been a 20-year process, basically having to be fighting these folks for genuinely trying to steal my land. I have it recorded that they're actually trying to do it. So it's no joke at this point. No lie. It's
right.
Real.
Kimberly, I have a question for you real quick before I forget. I don't mean to interrupt. But in your particular situation and in regard to what we just heard Troy say, so are you actually dealing with the county courts, or have you tried to take your patent into a federal court?
No, I have not done anything with federal court yet, other than when I had registered, or not registered, recorded, sorry, not registered. I went and did this on the county, and as soon as I did that, they had to come after me with a utility to basically gain access back, and they ran a court right over me with that. So that may give me grounds to get to a federal court. I'm still learning that process. Right now, they basically have me for this week, a period of 12 to 16, basically to get an appointment for show cause hearings on all of these. I've been in touch multiple times. I went to a public meeting with the land authority bank to let them know, with everybody there, principals and agents of all the townships, that, you know, I have federal land patents on all of these, and you can't keep proceeding. You need to stop, and you need to take me off the tax roll, and you need to, you know, basically recognize this and stand down. But you
when,
know, they
when
just
you
don't
say
get it.
Kimberly, when you say that to them, are they aware of what a federal land patent is? Do they give you any feedback when you're talking to them? I'm just curious.
Well, the meetings get shut down. You know, one of the first ones I went to, they pulled the plug on my mic, and that's all on recorded line. You can go see the township meeting. This particular one, they don't record it. So they just absolutely collapsed the meeting right then and there, and basically all walked out of the room. So, no, they think they know by the glares, at least some of them know, but others of them, I think, are in the dark, as
and,
would be the nature. You'd have the innocent people
what
that
is
know
their, oh, I'm sorry. What is their response to you when you tell them that it is a federal land patent?
They don't even respond. They just, you know, in this case, they said you need to make an appointment. So we went down to the treasurer's office, and then I got accused of threatening them. I'm like, you're the ones threatening me. How could I possibly be threatening you? I'm trying to inform you. And then they called the sheriff on me again, and they came down and took their report, glared at me, and walked away. So this is the second time I've been up to their offices that they've called the sheriff on me and walked away and didn't even interface with me hardly, because there's nothing, I'm in my right. I'm not doing anything wrong. So, you know, with this, I had another talk with them this week, and, you know, they just are just, they even admitted at this point, you know, the township, actually, I talked with them, they've admitted that the county has made them whole. And that they that I have no debt with them. That's why you can never go back and pay the township for, you know, delinquent taxes, because they get made whole. They're already settled. There's no problem. So the county buys the debt, and then they send the tax collectors, or they hire another company to come after you. So in this case, the math we've done, it looks like the state basically is working about 250 days. They're actually repossessing 50 homes a day on Michigan.
Yeah, it's quite a business, let me tell you. So what I really would like to find out in your particular case is, how would you, because you own all your land, you have the patent, How do you get into a federal court and not have to waste all these timelines with the county?
Well, right now, what I've done, I actually had what I feel is a big success. One of the things that I have been counseled that you're supposed to do is contact the Department of Interior and find out what your apportionment of the national debt is. So I've done that with all three of my properties, but they've been non-responsive. So as of last night, I actually just looked up my default letter to them for a certificate of non-response, non-performance, and basically a default judgment accepting the gift that I owe no taxes and there's no federal liens or anything on these properties. So at this point, I'll take that down to my tax assessors and say, this stands in law that, there was no rebuttal. I have no hidden liens or anything on this. If the liens are satisfied, and at this point, you need to remove me from the tax roll. The Fisher and Redmond case of 30 basically says they can't tax you. There's no ability to do that. And so at this point, I'm just standing here and I look and I'm like, come on, I don't want you guys in trouble here. I'm trying to inform you. Stop laughing at me. Stop hitting, stop.
It sounds like you're going through a lot of emotional distress with these people, and I don't
My
want
life
to,
is,
I don't, I, and I
yeah.
know we've all shared our experiences with each other, but I guess the key is try to, in your particular case, and would be to figure out how to get into the federal court with those land patents, to where they're
But one of
gonna.
the things that I was going to ask you on this with is I know in some of the work that you've been doing, you really did the chain of title on Michigan, even going back to the living root, which is our Native American tribe. At this point on Michigan, I would call to and ask, please, Chief Ottawa and any of the Triple Flame, could I please have counsel with you? I would really like to discuss, having your blessing to have, a custody and be the one that maintains my land and property and be able to show, Ottawa County that indeed I've gone straight back to as far as I know how to go and chain of title everywhere and, and proving that I am in right. And, I would like to just love my land and live here in peace and have everyone just be able to do the same. And sadly, not,
I
there's
totally
too much to lose.
understand. Go ahead, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, they have too much to lose at the county, apparently. I mean, it's such an obvious slam dunk, and there's so much law and everything, and they just don't want to look. And sadly, it will end badly because corporations, men and women, are liable. They think they're not liable, but every one of these men and women that is actually moving against the people, sadly, I mean, these come with huge crimes against humanity. I mean, at this point, my deprivation of rights are so bad. I mean, this all got started because they turned my water off for refusing a smart meter. I'm over 900 days without water. Are you kidding? And they're charging me. I have
Yeah,
appeals already.
it's definitely a corrupt system, and we're all learning here in Michigan on how to navigate through it. But the best bet, I think, for you, Kimberly, just from my experience, is we got to figure out how to get you in front of the federal courts and get out of the county, because they're just not connecting to it. But I love you. Thank you so much for calling in, dear.
I appreciate
And
you
we're going
all.
to move on.
Bless everyone.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kimberly. You're wonderful. Okay. So, Kimberly has been going through some stuff with her land, and she owns it. Okay. So, I don't know. Her unique situation is her unique situation, but it's good that she comes out and she shares what is happening with her and how she's navigating through it. And this is what this show is about, so that we can all learn through our experiences. And back to what Troy was sharing with Q here. They talked about case law. Okay. If anybody out there knows about the case law that Q said that he had, and you've stumbled upon it, please share it with us. I did come across a case law, Carpenter versus Logan, in regard to the mortgages, which ruled that the mortgage follows the note. Okay. So without the original note, any type of foreclosure claims can be risky for the banks and the mortgage companies. When you sell the note, the mortgage should go with it. UCC 3-305, you can assert yourself against anybody who makes a claim that they are the legible holder and due course that cannot prove it. Now, I'll tell you about what due course means in a minute. The system, the very system that we're in, is structured to keep us performing. Even though we believe we are the sole owner of the house, this is when they come out and they say they want to talk about refinancing, and how you can lower your interest rate. But that's just getting you back into the cycle all over again. keeping the debt going. People actually think that they are building equity in their loan as it is just an illusion. Okay, so why do we need to build equity? We should just be able to sell the property or whatever we want to do with it, and what we paid for it. It makes no sense at all when you really evaluate the process. Every monthly statement that you get in the mail is a pre-structured negotiable instrument. The coupon that comes with your statement is a financial statement, instrument, excuse me. Just like your energy bills, your gas bills, you notice they all come in capital letters in your name. So, however, you question what is it that is being sent to you. That's what you got to do. The payments are not going to the original lender. They go to the subservicer that manages the account while the investors already got paid when the note was sold as a security. It's not about you paying off the debt. It's about keeping you in the system. Therefore, that's why I see mortgages as definitely as Q. Our friend would say, money mafia. It's easier to pay the debt, of course, pay your mortgage, or as Troy said, pay the ransom versus discharging the debt. But you can discharge it. You can discharge it, but it requires a high level of attention and intention. Now, real quick before we take the next caller, I want to talk about foreclosures. Why do they happen? Foreclosure, as Troy said, is a weapon that the banks use to enforce the illusion of debt. If it has already been paid, when you default, the bank claims the right to take the property back because in the documents that you sign, you agree to them that they can seize your property until you can shift the agreement to be an unenforceable, to be unenforceable. The process can be done. But the truth of it is they have already monetized your note at closing when you close for the mortgage. They securitized it and sold it to investors or pledge it as a collateral. They have already been compensated, often multiple times. People would be shocked. So legally, under UCC Article 9 for secured transactions, a party must prove they hold the note in order to enforce foreclosure. This is why many homeowners have beaten in foreclosure by demanding the original wet ink signature. Most people beat foreclosure because when they challenge the mortgage company to provide the documents, they cannot provide them. Therefore, they lose any legal ground to foreclose. And that is a fact. And in my personal experience, I have discovered that. But I'm not going to talk about it on radio because I'm not there yet. When the time comes, I will share it. Going into the next point, and then we'll take the next caller. This is the key to stop foreclosure. Challenge from the system by getting them to provide the information that would prove or give them standing to collect or foreclose on your property. And you know how this whole process began, so they're going to have a difficult time doing that. If the note has been sold, transferred through MERS, or securitized, the bank most likely will not produce the documents. This is the weak point of the claim. All right. I hope everybody's getting that. So when you're doing, if you're in a foreclosure, really ask the questions, get in there, get the documentation, and learn what the process is. Because once you start understanding it, holy cow. Do you start to get confident and the fear and the doubt and the anxiety doesn't take over? Because in my situation, I have had that happen, but I pull myself back into my center, into my heart, and I get back to my breathing. And I do it in the morning, I do it during the day, and I do it at night because a lot of this stuff can be very overwhelming. But the real fun part about it is that this is all a game, it's not real. And so when you learn it, and you understand how it's being processed, it starts to get fun. All right, next caller. Who do we have on? Mary from Michigan. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Robin. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Okay. I think the only way to really avoid all this bullshit is from people to people by land contract, and don't even allow the corporate government in any of our business. But what I wanted to address was Allie. I don't know how old she was, or if she was had young children or taken care of her grandchildren.
Yes, she does.
But that's exact, huh?
Yes, she does have children.
Young children.
Yes.
Anyway, they prey on vulnerable people, and you used to be able to be in a hardship and not have your shit turned off, right? Not anymore. It's like 2 months, you don't pay your bill, they come turn your shit off.
Yeah, but this is when we need to dive into their process and how they do it and find out what we can do to stop it. And I'm learning that with every experience that comes my way. And you know, because you've done it yourself.
But I've been kind of forced into that situation and having to, and I'm also a veteran, and people always say, well, you're a veteran. You don't need to worry about losing your house. You're protected. But for years, we weren't protected. I have a whole bunch of veteran brothers and sisters who have lost their homes because they went to serve their country. And while they were gone, the government, the corporation came in and foreclosed on their homes.
Yeah,
They,
and it's a sad situation, but I truly believe that we're going to see a lot of that being cleaned up, or it's already being done.
hope you're right. Hope you're right.
I'm feeling it. I know that there's good things coming our way, and you actually own your property too, correct?
I do. I am in the city, however, so I don't have a well. I don't have, I'm dependent on Consumers Energy and DTE for my gas and the city for my water. And I haven't worked since May, and I've been looking for work, and something needs to change real quick.
Yep. And in your heart, you are the one that has that control to make your realities be what you want it to be. And you are just a wonderful person and you help so many people. And that will come around to you. I feel it. Okay. Thank you, Mary, so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You
Bye.
too. All right. Shane, you're awful quiet.
Hey, I'm listening. I'm just listening and enjoying.
I know. I'm just messing with you. So, I just wanted to go back to the word due course, okay? As I said earlier, unless you are the legal holder in due course, you are unable to enforce the note that says I agree for you to take my property if I stop paying the note. Okay, so HDC is what that stands for, holder of hold on a second, due course. And so I want to share that with everybody of what that meaning is. The holder in due course is someone who acquires a negotiable instrument like a promissory note, a check, often tied into a mortgage in good faith for value without notice of any defects or claims against it. This gives them stronger legal rights than the original holder. Okay, so these are things. And under the UCC Article 3, the instrument must be taken for value in exchange for money, goods, or services, not as a gift. In good faith, honesty, without suspicious circumstances, without notice of any problems like forgery, alteration, or prior claims. So that's what that means. So I'm just trying to share what I'm learning in my process. So, why it matters in a mortgage. Mortgage notes are negotiable instruments, and that's a fact. It's a bank or lender If a bank or lender sells your mortgage note to another party who becomes an holder in due course, that new holder can enforce the note even if there were issues with the original lender, fraud or errors. This can make it harder for the borrowers to challenge the scams, or any predatory lending procedures or practices. So in reality, a repossession of homes is just another way to keep the system going, and they maintain control and keep the illusion alive. So you always need to ask for the original contract, be able to nullify the foreclosure. And I do have my original contract, and I never read that thing because it's thicker than a book. But I'll tell you what, in the last 3, 4 weeks, I've been diving deep into really understanding the process. And I get anxiety when I see stuff like that, and I don't want to even look at it. But now that I'm looking at it, I go, okay, why was I so worried about this? This is very interesting stuff. Okay. So, and it helps you understand what's going on in regard to your foreclosure if you are in a foreclosure, or if you're trying to homestead with a mortgage and you are still paying your mortgage. As Troy said, keep on paying until there's a challenge, so you know how to navigate to it. So, Troy, I hope you call in one day. I would love to know what is going on with your particular situation. Anyway, understand what's happening behind the scenes. Understand that they can securitize it and get paid through insurance. They get paid in multiple ways, such as fractionalizing. Now, what is fractionalizing? All right, in real estate, fractionalizing often describes fractional ownership, where high-value assets like properties, vacation homes, or luxury items are divided into shares. This allows multiple people to own and use a portion of the asset without bearing the full cost. For instance, instead of buying an entire vacation home, investors might purchase a fraction, like an eighth, and share usage right properties. Okay, so I think we have that. What do they call those again? Where people have timeshares, right, Shane?
I think so.
Okay, so that's kind of what that is. All right, what is the time frame here? We got 3:51. Shane, anything you want to bring to the table? How are things?
No, I was just curious. So you're sitting here, you're talking about promissory notes.
Yes.
Why is there not an avenue for me to write a promissory note to you for a piece of property and then you redeem that money from the Fed yourself?
You
Why do
mean
we have to? Why do we have to use the banks?
that's a good question. I like that.
So
So
what
we
I'm going
need.
to do right now is I know that there's a listener out there listening right now that understands this process and how to do it, and I'm going to create the reality where we are introduced to this person so that we can keep it between person to person moving forward and remove ourselves from that illusion.
I love it. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you can, like I said earlier, you can discharge the mortgage, but again, it is a lot of research and you really have to have intention and really know what you're doing. Whereas in my particular situation, what we did is when Clay was actually talking to had the HUD guy on the phone, we were actually a friend of mine, we were actually talking to the gentleman from the Michigan Housing Authority, and we recorded the conversation. So, which was a good thing for us. So,
Right.
if you can do that in any situation, when and if you are in a situation, that's probably the way to go.
Well, I have had some clients that in my I own a business in construction that they couldn't afford to pay a certain amount, and my bank suggested a promissory note for them to sign a promissory note. I had them sign it, but they end up paying it anyway, so I never had to enforce a promissory note. So it's probably a lot simpler than what we think it may be. I've just never had to utilize the promissory note to redeem I'm assuming it would be a claim, I'm assuming, with the Fed. And how long does that take? Is it easy?
It's a
I mean,
negotiable instrument, and
right.
we do have access to creating those. We do. I don't know how to do it yet. I'm not to that point, but I'm learning as I go. But it's very, very interesting because it's not just in the mortgage industry. It's with your bills, it's with your car payments, all of that. And there is a guy on YouTube, I can't remember his name, but there's all kinds of people that have classes to teach you how to do this stuff. It's a lot of information, and you got to really put the time and the effort into learning it. And if you can master it, holy cow, if we all could do that, we could really change some things out there in regard to these systems that keep us in debt. So,
Right.
all right,
Well,
we have come to the end of the program, and it's been so great to be back with everybody. I got sick over the holidays, kind of threw me for a loop. And physically, I don't ever get sick, and this one really took me down, but it's been going through the whole state of Michigan, and I think maybe other places, maybe a different type of flu. But like I said, I didn't have my homemade hydroxychloroquine made up. I completely forgot about it. But usually before the flu season starts, I start chugging that stuff down, and I made a whole new batch today, along with my Nano Ojas, which I take every day. So with that, we're going to wrap up today's episode of PRQ Homesteading Expanded on BBS Radio Station with the BBS crew. We love you. Thank you so much for all your assistance with getting us going on the air. And to all the listeners, Shane, you want to say anything to the beautiful listeners?
Just operate from the heart. Try to recognize when the mind steps in, and remove any attachments to anything that may slow down your blessings from being received.
Absolutely. And don't let fear or doubt chain you down any longer. You got the knowledge, now the tools to spot the traps. Reclaim our sovereignty and build the life we deserve on our own land with our homestead patent. So thanks for tuning in, and everyone have a powerful, liberated rest of your Saturday.
Thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Shane. Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you.